Today, it's a continuation, of course, of their reading yesterday, and the scenario is the Feast of Tabernacles the Jews were celebrating in Jerusalem. First, my introduction. If you go to any thriving city in the world, one thing you will see are restaurants. The restaurant business is one of the booming industries. For instance, in Spain, we have Michelin or Michelin-starred chefs. Some restaurants have become very famous that the wait list stretches for months to get a table, and in some places, even you have to reserve a year ahead of time. Of course, if you go to Manila, you will find, as you turn, wherever you go, Makati, Pasig, wherever you go, there are restaurants all over the place. I mean, as I said, the restaurant business is booming. That at least was before the pandemic. And I hope that businesses recover. Let us pray for them. People have been affected and lost their jobs, even in Spain, because of the pandemic. Why? Because people like to eat, and they want to eat good food. Food and drink are two fundamental necessities of the human body. Our Lord, interestingly, appeals to such human needs and points us to our spiritual needs. When his disciples were wondering if Jesus had eaten, he said, "I have food to eat, and that is to do the will of my Father." Jesus does not eat the will of the Father per se. Instead, he equates hunger and the necessity of food to do the will of God. At another point, Jesus said, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that brings eternal life." We all work for food to feed our physical bodies, to feed families, don't we? But Jesus said, interestingly, that we need to exert even more effort for the food that nourishes and gives eternal life. While on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem at the temple, Jesus cries out. That means he did not literally cry, but he said it with a loud voice, almost like a command. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." He spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. I'm sure that the people who heard him were shocked, but they also understood what Jesus Christ was saying. As the Jews were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, they remembered the incident of Moses when he did strike the rock and the water gushed out while they were in the wilderness. Remember, that was one thing I was sharing yesterday. So this became so alive to them, and they realized what Jesus Christ was saying, perhaps. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, rivers are very symbolic. Let me give you two scriptures. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 10. "Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads, which flowed, if I may add, which flowed to the four corners of the world." Interesting. The garden had a sort of a well, and then there were four rivers. As I said, as I may add, it flowed to the four corners of the world. And when we go to the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 1, "As he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb." Of course, it would take us several hours to decipher all these wonderful words, the consummation of the prophecy that was given. But let us focus on the reading today. Some scholars believe that Jesus was referring to the vision given to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 47. A vision the prophet received of the temple and water. Ezekiel's vision follows the water which flowed from Moses' rock. What do you think and what do we think Jesus was implying? Jesus identifies himself with the temple of Ezekiel's vision, and in him, a new temple is to be built. Let me go to the crucifixion. Remember that at the crucifixion, our Lord's side was pierced by a spear, and from his side flowed flowed blood and water. And each time, whenever I would read such scripture, I would always equate it to what happened in the garden when God created Adam and Eve. Eve was fashioned from the very side of Adam. And what does it mean for us? The church was fashioned from the very side of Jesus. Each time I read that scripture, that's what comes to my mind immediately. But from his side, water and blood ooze out, if you will. And normally we say from the right side that that's where the heart is, am I not right? That means from the very heart of God came out water and blood. The water and the blood are two sources of the church's great sacraments, baptism and the Eucharist. Sacramentally, the water that flows from Jesus' heart is the living water that the church offers to us in baptism, in the sacrament of baptism. God knows indeed the pangs of the hunger and thirst of the human heart. And hence, he gives us what? Food to eat. And what he gives us is his very life. And what does he give us to quench our thirst? The Holy Spirit. So God knows truly what we hunger and what we thirst for. Not beyond human hunger and beyond human thirst, but it's the hunger and the thirst of every man's heart. Jesus gives his body to feed us. And God and Jesus gives his spirit to quench the thirst of every human heart. My brothers and sisters, what are we looking for? Yesterday I said, are we looking for something or are we looking for someone? If we are looking at the yearning and the longing of human heart, it is only God who can provide. And he provides it with his own life and with his own spirit.